Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the LFC Day Trippers. This is a midweek fix that we're recording an audio download, but you can watch it on our Riverside app and watch it on your phone. And if you're on a desktop, you can absolutely watch it, comment, join in, whatever you want. So if you're here and you're on a desktop, by all means, when we give you the show, join us, talk about the bits we're going to talk about, and we get through this next hour and we see how we get on. With me, I have got Matt and I have got Keith. Premier League predictions, not just Liverpool, overall Premier League predictions for 22-23. Keith, I'm going to come to you first.
Yes.
Are you excited about the new season?
I am excited about the new season. I'm always excited about the new season until the new season starts, and depends how Liverpool go, at which point I will give up on the new season. But yeah, I'm excited. Liverpool, a short summer. We're rolling into it. We know this season is going to be a bit of an anomaly with the World Cup in the middle of it. So it makes predictions maybe a little bit harder than they probably should be. And I'll put a bit more thought into this maybe than I would have done. But yeah, looking forward to it. Okay. I hate the break. I hate when there's no international football.
The World Cup would have been nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, something would have been nice. Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. Do you know what? The Women's Euros was all right. It was a nice little bit of football there. But something in the middle of the summer would have been better, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it gets you out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But then again, Keith, we could have been watching the World Cup going, oh, just bring back Liverpool. You get annoyed at the World Cup.
That's always the way, yeah. It's always the way. Matt, especially if Ireland are not there, or if they are there and they go home early, then it's like, wrap this up.
Ireland usually show for 2 weeks, get locked, drunk, and then just say, fuck that, we're out there.
Wrap
and then
you go,
but you're in the knockouts, like, nah, I'm not interested. We've had enough, look, enough's enough, we're going home. Matt, you are really optimistic overall as a person. Are you looking forward to this season?
Nah, you're getting into this less than a week to go countdown territory now. Like, it's for real. You got to get those fantasy teams locked in. And
I forgot about that.
I'm really, really excited for the season to get started because it feels like it's going to be a good year.
I think it's going to be a great season. I think, like, as a Liverpool fan, I'm really looking forward to it because I always do look forward to it. But just some of the signings that have been made, I suppose the progression that you've seen from some teams, the possibly regression of others that we might get into, I just think it's going to be a fascinating season. Now, we probably say that every year, but I think with some clubs talking themselves up really highly and some are a bit kind of Oh, I'm not too sure about this. I think it's going to be in really intriguing this season. We've brought up a list. We're going to bring up a list of things that we're going to talk about tonight. And as I said, if people are watching and they want to join in at some stage, we give you the heads up and you can join in. I think if you're watching it on the Riverside app or on your desktop, there's a little, Matt will be able to explain it better, but I think there's a little button you can press where you can type in a question and request to come on screen, and then we can allow you to come on. Am I right in saying that, Matt?
Yeah, it doesn't work off the phone. So if you're watching and listening along using the Riverside app on your phone, this option isn't open to you. But if you're on a desktop and at least using Chrome, that's the browser that I tried it with and it worked. Underneath the three boxes with our faces in it, there should be a link that said, and I should have wrote this down, start live chat or join live call in button. Bingo. So you press that, a little screen will come up. It'll ask you for your name, your question. Then you'll get another screen where you just do a quick audio video test. And then you you sit and wait on hold for the boss man to answer and pick up your call. So I'm really hoping we get a few people try it out.
I'm hoping we do.
It'd be nice.
It'd be nice. We'll get people in and they can, when some of these topics come up, they might jump in and give us other names and we give them the opportunity to do that. And then hopefully if there's people watching that aren't Liverpool fans, they might be able to come in and give us their views on if it's Arsenal or Leicester or Newcastle or Spurs or United, whoever it is, they might do that as well. Laura Duffy says this season will be extra intriguing because of all the usual things that happen, plus the World Cup in the middle. I think that's going to be huge. I actually think that's where Liverpool get an advantage. I think when Klopp gets 6 weeks with, all right, not a full squad, but possibly 6 weeks where he can actually get people ready again to go. And like another pre-season that he loves, I think it could be huge for them. Let's kick it off though. I'm just going to go through this list as I sent it to you. Bargain of the summer. Now, this can be a player that's 50 million and you think he's worth 80. It could be a fella that's worth paid 5 and he's probably worth 25. It's completely how you see it. It's up to you. Keith, bargain of the summer for you in the Premier League?
The easy and obvious one is Fabio Carvalho, for the money that Liverpool have paid for him. And the impact I think he will make, I think he's the easy choice. But he's not the one I've gone for. The one I've gone for is a player who is going to a team that needs an overhaul, right? They haven't had an overhaul, but they've had a little gradual change, and it's Malassia at Manchester United. Mm. I'm intrigued by Man United this season. I don't know if they're going to be good. I think they are going to be good. I like Ten Hag's Ajax. I like Ten Hag. And I don't know what to make of them. Now, I think fullback is becoming such a key area for teams. Liverpool are the prime example of that with Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andy Roberts in Manchester City. You know, you play from your fullbacks these days. And Luke Shaw was okay. Alex Telles is terrible. They've brought in a young fella now here who was an absolute flyer. And I'm intrigued to see how this guy gets on. And a fairly low price as well. So
12 million?
£12 million or something, yeah. And I know, like I said, Carvalho's cheaper. There's cheaper players out there, but this is the fella who I think, you know, to bring in Lisandro Martinez. Right now, Lisandro Martinez is 50-odd million. He's 5'3", centre-back. I don't know, you know, how he's going to pan out. I think he'd be decent as well. They bring in Christian Eriksen for a low fee, but we know the reasons behind that. I think this guy is going to be a bargain. I think he's going to be a huge, huge bargain. And I think he symbolises for Manchester United everything that they've done wrong in the transfer market over the last, since Ferguson retired, and even maybe a little bit before that. They went in, Leon agreed a deal for this kid, and United just bamboozled him at the end and gave the money, matched it, or gave a little bit more and got the player. Whereas we've all seen it in years gone by. We've seen it, you know, up to last season. They go in and they just put loads of money down on players that aren't worth, you know, three quarters of what they're paying, or even, you know, sometimes in Harry Maguire's case, you know, you're probably looking at a £25 million defender that went for £80 million, you know. So they've done their business horrifically over the years. And I think this is a smart signing for them. And I think it'll be one of the bargains of the season.
He plays against Liverpool in, was it Bangkok?
Yeah, Bangkok.
Bangkok, I think it was. And I really like him. Confident on the ball, Luke Shaw is quite confident on the ball and looks to get forward, but this fella has a real purpose about him. Good going the other way, good pace, defensively looked, positionally wise, looked good. It'll all depend on what way United want to go, though. Because in order to get, I think, the best out of him, you're probably going to have to trust him to be really high up the pitch. Yeah. And in turn, you're going to have to trust your centre backs. Now, United couldn't do that because you couldn't trust their midfield. And you most certainly couldn't trust your centre backs. If I'm a United fan, I'm not too bothered about Lisandro Martinez being 5'9" or whatever.
Oh, no.
Because I don't, how many headed goals are scored in the Premier League where you see a fella tearing over another fella? It's not often seen anymore because there's a lot of football played and it's a lot of get into certain positions and channels and cut balls back and coming to play, try tear teams apart more than be really direct. Now, you may see that against the likes of Brentford who love doing it. Long throws and stuff like that, but the majority of teams in this league try play football, counter attacking football. Alessandro Martinez is quick. He's quite quick. He's
great with the ball as well.
Good defensive and he's good on the ball. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a key point, Gav, that you make there. If that had been Harry Maguire, Lindelof, or Ran, I probably think Malacia could have struggled a little. Not struggled, but I agree. I think he needs to be pushed really high up. And I think the Martinez signing allows for that. So I think United have done good business. Do you know what I mean?
I think they have. I think the only concern I have over them, you probably get back to them when we're talking to top six and stuff. The only concern I have about them is this Frankie de Jong thing that continues to go on and on and on. And the rumbling is he doesn't want to play for Manchester United, despite the fact that, you know, you just keep banging on the door. And the other thing is Ronaldo, where you're going. Clearly doesn't want to be there. He's tried his best to get out. He's come back, gone off at half-time. And, you know, it could quickly turn into Ronaldo against Ten Hag. And that's not a start you want as any manager or any club. And especially if it's one of the best two players that you've seen in the last 25 years. It's, you know, they're up there. He's up there as one of the greats. And he holds so much sway still at that club, despite his behaviour in the summer. I think Ten Hag needs to get out of that situation quick.
Yeah,
whether that's just he's staying and Ronaldo says he's staying or he's gone, we want him out, cut up his contract, wherever it might be. But Malacia is a good show. I think he's looked good and it's not a £55 million left back.
Yeah.
It's 13 million and you go, you know what? If it doesn't work, people will ridicule them because they're Manchester United. But if it does, it's starting to show the way they should do things. Because I've said it for a while, United should actually look at what Liverpool do.
Yeah.
Guys transfers. And like, all right, Liverpool go 70 million and they go 80 million at times, but a lot of them can be 10, 12. Robertson is 8. Do you know the sort of way? There's loads in there.
Look at Wan-Bissaka, you know, on the other side for them, 50 million, and he's just not a £50 million player that they can't get rid of now.
He's not a £50 million player in the structure that they played under Solskjaer, right? But he's most definitely not a fullback that can play under Ten Hag. If Ten Hag thinks his fullbacks have to get forward, because the fella literally doesn't know what to do when he's over the halfway line.
Breaks out in a rash when he gets up to the other end.
Matt, he's gone from Malacia to Manchester United. I'll give you my pick in a minute. What do you think?
Just before I give you mine, does Martinez play left side center half? Like, are Martinez and Malacia going to be
the
left side of United
States? Yeah.
Because That'll help Malacia a lot versus having to be like if he's stuck beside Harry Maguire, like that's just terrible.
Maguire plays left side, doesn't he, for them?
He does. I mean, he definitely did it the game at Old Trafford last year because him and Luke Shaw kept running into each other.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go kind of the same lines. My first pick was Fabio Carvalho. I think because, you know, it almost happened in January and then just happened at the soon as the offseason started, it was just announced and it was over that it's kind of gone under the radar for probably everybody that's not a Liverpool fan. But I also took a fullback. I think Jed Spence could do real good things at Tottenham. You know, had a really good season last year in the Championship and he looks like he's going to get the confidence of Conte to take the position and make it his own. So it's, you know, he's a modern day fullback. He's going to have a lot more cover in terms of having the three center halves behind him. So he'll, in theory, be allowed to really go and express himself going forward and a decent quality fullback, which, you know, it's been a while since Spurs have had, you know, maybe since Kyle Walker left to go to City, have had somebody that they could consistently rely on to get up the pitch. And you start thinking about somebody with decent delivery throwing the ball in for Kane, Son, Kulusevski, even Richarlison. I think it could pay good dividends. And he was only about 13, 14 million pounds too. So
it's interesting that because he's on loan at Forest from Middlesbrough and, you know, Forest apparently wanted him and I couldn't believe Middlesbrough letting him go for 15 or 14 million. That might be only a year left on the deal. That may be the issue. I can't see him having anything in his contract at that age where if he gets a Premier League team, he gets a move for a certain amount. I think he will be good. I think he's going to have to do an awful lot of work in a Conte side, though.
Yeah.
He expects an awful lot of his wing-backs. He expects them to be up and down machines. Now, he has got the build for it. He has the athleticism for it. But he needs to learn the art of defending in a real proper way because, look...
Well, he's got a proper coach. So oh, I mean, has, that's,
unbelievable
that really
coach. He's an unbelievable coach in Conte. But what I'm saying is, in a back, I think it was a back four, he might have played maybe a back five at Forest. But, you know, there's a big jump from Championship to Premier League. On an off day, you might make that jump in an FA Cup game or whatever, but for over 38 games, there's a massive, massive jump. And not when you play three at the back, the one place you look to expose teams when they're playing that is in behind between the fullback and the centre back. And Liverpool play off it. Whenever I see a team playing three centre halves against Liverpool, I think we can mortar this because you're going to leave spaces there unless you're going to go flat back five. And he'll have to learn. He'll learn on the job, but he has a brilliant coach, like you said. He's an absolutely brilliant coach to try to do it. And I think it is a good deal at 14 or 15 million quid. My pick is the guy, Aronson.
Brendan
Aronson.
Leeds. And the reason I've done it is I'm not too sure what the fee was.
About 35 million.
Right. I think it's a bargain in what they need.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. And it's easy to go. Like, Fabio Carvalho, like we said, is a really, really good one to go for. Spence's initial fee is 19 million. But still, it's still a good deal for a young fullback that's really impressed everyone that's played there. Laura Duffy says that. The reason I think this could be a bargain for Leeds is the type of player he is and what he can bring to the players around him is something Leeds need massively. I was talking to Joe Wayman on his show last week and I was telling him that I was dying to talk about Leeds and he was like, why? And I was like, they're signing loads of players and they need to, Joe, because I don't care if you bring in, you know, the fucking 800 of the world to manage it. What's gone on under Bielsa and how tired that squad is, as good as Bielsa was, it's so hard to get yourself back. And he's starting to replace players that looked, for me, tired. Calvin Phillips went to Man City. And I think that's, he could have only went to two places, City and Liverpool. He needs to be in teams that dominate the ball for long periods of time. Not only because I think it suits him, I think it's because it gives him the chance in that side to recuperate his body over the next 12 months and then show exactly what he can do as a player. You know, if he wants to go box to box, he probably called Calvin Phillips. But this guy, Aronson, I keep saying his name wrong, don't I? Loads of energy, really good on the ball, holds it well, brings players into play. Don't think he scores a hell of a lot of goals, but he feeds people ball all the time. Just keeps feeding ball all the time. Do you know who he reminds me of? And I know it's a mad, mad fucking thing, but there was a guy at Swansea years ago, little tiny fella. I can't think of his name. And he never done anything, never scored goals. But when he played, he just kept feeding balls to people. Loads
Leon
of energy.
Britton, was it?
Leon Britton. And Leon Britton, when he played for Swansea, right, didn't score loads of goals. I don't know if he assisted loads, but when you watch him playing for Swansea, you went, you know what? He just links everything. Loads of energy, closing down, gets a tackle in, and just keeps feeding people all the time with the ball. And that's what Leeds need.
Kev says it there, he's the hockey assister.
Yeah, that's what he feels like to me. And Leeds need it because I was saying to Joe, Leeds need to come out and press high and get a real vibe going again at Elland Road under Jesse Marsh. And the fans will feed off it. Leeds fans are good at feeding off it. And I think this fella could be absolutely key to them. I know 35 million sounds a lot, but I think in a year's time you look and go, that's an absolute steal. And you're probably looking at someone at the top four going, they'll have a look at him. They genuinely have a look at him. And I could be way off, but it's just a signing for me that says that just really suits what Leeds need and have to do.
I might be way off with my valuation because Matt says it's 25 million for Aronson, which is a cracking price.
Yeah, no, look, don't get me wrong, I could have went for someone for 10, you know.
Yeah.
But I just in that midfield, like when you see in the back end of last season, Calvin Phillips wasn't there, they were playing, there was a lot of mismatch going on in midfield, you know, and there wasn't a real... There was a bit of hard work, but it looked unorganised. And then when they got it, it didn't look like someone that just trusted themselves with the ball. This fella does. This fella absolutely trusts himself with the ball in tight areas, yeah, and then looks to spring things. So I think it's good.
And with the business that they've done, sorry for cutting across, you have the business that Leeds have done with Tyler Adams and Mark Rocha and all they brought in good players, and Aronson sort of compliments them now. You know, it's not a scattergun. I don't think. I think it's a sensible build, and I think Aronson is, he's a good show.
Jack from the Talking Ballocks pod, which is a deadly name, by the way. Bamford was a massive miss for Leeds last season. No real focal point. He was. But if you look at Gelhardt, Gelhardt ran his socks off. He's another good young player. But Leeds lacked the leadership for me, and he lacked someone to take responsibility. And sometimes to slow things down and go, look, be comfortable on it. Hold the ball. They were losing the ball. They played United at home, and they were beating 4-2 in the end. And they were 2-0 down. I think they got back to 2-2. It was pissing rain at Elland Road, I think. And they gave the ball away so much. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, if it was Liverpool, they would have lost 10-0. Let me put it that way to you. And I think this guy is really good. Laura Duffy says, Aronson also played for Marsh before, and he links up well with Tyler Adams, who, of course, has gone to Leeds. So there's a couple of names here. If there's any more that you think is a bargain, lash them in the chat, and we'll pick them up in a couple of minutes. Player that was paid too much for. Overpriced. What are you doing? Matt, I'll let you go first on this one.
I'm so happy you came to me first, because I really only had one name that came to my mind first off, and I think they overpaid for Richarlison.
Of course they did. Of course they did.
£60 million. I don't even know if he starts. No, I don't think he starts. I think that front three meshed so well at the back end of last season that Conte's not going to, you know, cut off his nose to spite his face just to shoehorn this guy in. He's proven throughout his career that he's a stubborn bastard of a manager, and he's going to go with what works for him. And Richarlison's going to have to try to fight his way into that team. And I don't think he has it in him. So yeah, I think that's crazy money that Everton got for Richarlison.
The funny thing with this one is Son has a history of being injured.
Yeah.
At certain times of the season. Kane does as well.
Kulusevski.
I say Kulusevski. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but that's where I'm going.
That was right.
Really good fourth season. Really impressive. Lovely left foot on him. Powerful. Skillful. Second season, people know him a bit more. Will he get on as well? I think he will. I think he's a good player. Richarlison will get chances because Kane does miss games. Son misses games. They're in the Champions League, though. If they were in the Europa League, I think you would have got loads of Europa League football, while Kane and Son, or whoever, is kept for Premier League. I was a bit surprised by it, because I thought, if I'm Spurs, and I even have an inkling that Kane might go in 12 months' time, you know, if it doesn't work out, you bring somebody in for probably 30 to 40 that's 22 or 23 years of age, and you say, you know what, you will get 25 to 30 games this season across all competitions, but we're looking for you to be the future. A little bit like, I can only speak on Liverpool's behalf, of, you know, Diaz coming in, Nunez coming in, Jota, who comes in and, you know, is the future of Liverpool, Fabio Carvalho. You know, I just think Richarlison at £60 million to me is a bit trying to make something look big when it doesn't actually suit you. It's a big signing. He's a Brazilian international. He's commanded £110 million in his last two transfers between Watford, Everton and Spurs.
Gangster.
But I don't get me wrong, he could score goals for Spurs, but I just don't know the forward planning in it. I.e., if Spurs lose Kane to Bayern Munich next summer, are we all accepting that Richarlison is Spurs' new number nine centre forward? No. I don't think you are. I think it's a good show. I think it is overpriced, and I think he will get games. I think he might score goals, but I don't know if he'll do enough, and I don't know if he's the sort of player that, if Spurs are on a good run and them three boys are playing every game and he's getting on for 10 minutes in 10 games in a row because they're winning fucking 7 and drawing 3, I don't think he'd take it too well. That's just my opinion. Keith?
I agree. Yeah, he was my choice as well, and I just think it's a lot of dough. Could they have got someone that can do that job for them for less? I think they could. I think they really could. Someone that'll play, you know, when needed. Don't get me wrong, Richarlison is a good player. he does have a good goal scoring record for Brazil and Everton. You know, not great, decent, but he can play across the front three. So I can sort of see, right, they need a player like that, but 60 million's a lot of bread for a player like him. I just think it's a bit of a crazy one. Do you know what I mean? Like,
he could have got Timo Werner for half the price.
Yeah, exactly. And I know people mock Timo Werner, but Timo Werner can do that job.
Werner is like in Paris night of football at this stage. He looks so broken.
Yeah.
But it might be like he's rumored to go back to Leipzig, isn't he?
Yeah.
But Timo Werner to me just looks like someone that just never suited Chelsea from day one.
Exactly. Just because a player flops at a club doesn't mean he's a bad player all of a
sudden. I look at Timo Werner going, right, if it's into Kane and he's turning, look at the spring, somebody, Timo Werner has paced the ball. And you could have done that for 30 million, in my opinion, because Chelsea would have taken it off you. Couple of comments in here. Let me see. Damsgaard could be great. Overpriced. Matt is dead right on Richarlison. Laura says, especially considering the Elves financial situation, I presume 60 million was a bit mad. Jack says, McNeil. $20 million rumoured for 0 goals and 1 assist in 38 appearances. Thor reckons that Spurs will get that money back in 18 months when Barcelona shocked the world. Good deal. Matt says McNeil took 52 shots last season and didn't score. The highest number since Stuart Downing had 72 shots and 0 goals in 11-12.
That's a really good trivia question.
You don't go there. You're not allowed near trivia anymore. Let me see. Laura reckons you could easily see Richarlison falling out with Conte somewhere else during the season. Werner to Chelsea screamed that we want him so Liverpool can't have him. It just didn't fit. I'm struggling to think of one. I think Richarlison is a great show. Go on, Keith. Go on.
I had Richarlison as well, right? But I also have West Ham. But I have two signings here, right? So West Ham have shelled out 70 million euros on Ricardo Scamacca, the centre forward from Sassuolo, and Noyet Aguerd, a centre back off. Ren, I think it is.
70 million.
Yes,
euros.
He spent 35 on this centre.
Oh,
hold
on, no, 70 million combined.
Combined, yeah. Combined. No, Jesus, no, combined. And I know that's a bit, it's not really paying too much.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
In the WhatsApp chats we've had, Gav, everyone's very sceptical of Italian players leaving Italy. Do you know what I mean? And I just think, you know, a good player would go. I mean, West Ham have had success with Paolo Di Canio, so they know firsthand you can have Italian players that are very good. But I don't know if this kid, I don't know if England is the right move for him. I could, you know, egg on the face at the end of the season, but I think 36 million euros for him and 35 million for Aguerd. And I don't know Aguerd at all.
From Ren.
Yeah, I've seen a centre back from Ren. It sort of went under the radar for me. I think they needed a centre back, but
imagine these 30 to 40 million signs just go under the radar now.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Sign somebody for 5 million quid.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And I'm like, I don't know if the guy is bad because I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Chasing another midfielder this window as well for big money. And Declan Rice is being made club captain, is that right?
Yeah, because Noble retired. Yeah. But to me, West Ham are laying out huge money on players that I just don't think are worth the money. So I think, you know, as a combined, and there's more, you know what I mean? They paid, I think, 10 million for the keeper off PSG. Did they pay? They bring him in.
They made him permanent, didn't they?
Arriola. Or is that a nipple?
Was he on loan?
He was somewhere. Yeah, he was on loan there. But, you know, they're putting out a lot of money.
Yeah.
Laura Duffy spent 30 million on Aguerd and he just had surgery on his ankle.
Sorry.
Screaming of a disaster, this one. I'm delighted I went with that.
You could be sitting here in January going, do you know what, that Aguerd fella, that Samica fella, just...
Yeah. But West Ham seemed to pick up a lot of players. You know, your Suchets and Kufalds and all that. And, you know, these players that were coming in, and David Moyes had a history of this, you know, unearthing these bums and making them into good players. And sometimes I think when a manager starts jumping up to the next level and it's like, okay, it could be great or it could be a disaster. So they're the ones that sort of jumped out to me. Diego Carlos at Villa, I think, is a risky one. He has red card row all over him. So they paid about 30 odd million for him as well. And that's just one that you know, red flag alert all over him.
The one for me hasn't got a fee involved is Jesse Lingard.
Yeah.
Or 200 grand a week at first. Sean, he likes Jesse Lingard. We always, I don't know how he comes up so much in our conversation, but he does. And Sean, he's like, I like him. And I remember Jesse Lingard years ago being on loan, I think, at Birmingham from United, and everyone raving about this fella. You know, Jesse Lingard's the next big thing. And he had, I remember him having like a really good 6 week period for Man United where I think he scores away at Arsenal in the league and the cup consecutively. And people are like, oh, Jesse Lingard. And then he just disappeared. And like, he's had some personal issues. Now, people, you know, slag him for he makes all these mad signs with his fingers when he scores and he's brands and stuff. But they're all like that. They all have brands and they all have
that. Yeah,
like, that's just another stick to beat him with. He's had some personal issues, but I don't think it's fair to have a go at him over. I think you just talk about his football. And you have to give him some sort of allowance, I think, as well. Because the personal issues he had, I think, have been quite serious. Do you know the sort of way family and stuff? And, you know, you hope that that's all, as a footballer, you hope that that's all past. It's gone now and he's looking to concentrate. But you see, like, you know, Rania throws him under a bus by saying, oh, Jesse Lingard can't play. And Jesse Lingard's on Instagram going, I'm ready to play. And it was all sorts of stuff. But Forrest have given this fella 200 grand a week off the back of 10 good games for West Ham. And that's the truth of the matter. Because he had at the back end of the season before last, I think West Ham struggling. I think they were struggling.
Yeah, he comes in, doesn't he?
Comes in and they end up quite safe. But, you know, he has an impact, and I don't think it would have been too hard to have an impact on West Ham at the time because I think they were quite poor. And then doesn't sign for West Ham, goes back to Manchester United, disappears again. And I think West Ham wanted him back, and he ends up going to Forest 200 grand a week. I think it's a massive, massive gamble by Forest. It's 10 million quid over the season, and I don't even know if he signed a 2 year deal. I think it might be a 1 year deal, no signing on fee, but 200 grand. I think it's a huge, huge outlay for them. I know they spent a lot of money and they brought in a lot of players, but we'll have to wait and see on that. I just think it's a big risk. I think Forest have spent, but you're going to need hard work in this Premier League. I don't care what you spent. Villa spent 155 million quid when they come back into the Premier League, and we're safe on the final day away at West Ham. You know,
Fulham done it as well.
We're late equalizers, but I just don't know. I think kind of telling people you spent all this money won't keep you up. And it'll be I think Forest are really interesting as well. If Forest stay up, it's great businesses, Kev. But I think they could have stayed up without Jesse Lingard and that sort of outlay. So we'll have to wait and see. Kev says, did you hear the Dean Henderson interview today? No. Could Forest end up being another Fulham, says Jack? Too many new signs? Possibly.
I think there's a big possibility of that because, you know, they started off and bought in a few good signings and you're like, is that decent business by Forrest? And then they just start doing more and more and more. And it's like, I think they're doing too much, culminating in the J-Lings, 200 grand a week.
So Dean Henderson interviewed today. Dean Henderson, is he on loan to Forrest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was promised the number one by the club after the Euros. So we're going back.
So that's you.
Yeah. Turn down good loan moves, then they shat on him. Is this Manchester United?
Yeah.
So if he was being promised number one, it would have meant that De Gea was on the way out.
Well, I think they meant he'd be the first choice keeper.
Okay. He's not better than De Gea, by the way.
No, he's not.
No, he's not even close. I saw Henderson say he was told he was guaranteed first choice, but then got COVID and no one told him he wasn't number one, says Alan. Interesting. Is that a Manchester United, just to confirm? If you're in there and you're watching on your desktop and you want to come in and you want to give us, you want to quickly give us your bargain of the summer, or you want to give us the one that's being overpaid for, come on in. Come on down, the price is right, as he used to say on the telly. Surprise signing. Who surprised you? What signing jumped down and went, well, I can't believe they've done that? Keith.
Carney Chukwuemeka signed for Chelsea today, didn't he?
It looks like a deal was in place.
Yeah. That's a surprise because I thought he was destined to go to Germany.
Okay.
So I have players in here that are the surprising ones. Chukwuemeka is a surprise, but they could be in the ones to watch as well. But I'm going to put them in here as the surprises. I think Aaron Hickey to Brentford is a great signing. People know my love affair with Brentford.
Is this the left back that was playing?
He's Scottish. He was playing for Bologna, and he's excellent. He's both footed. You know, he can play on either side. He's really good, and you know, I think Arsenal were strongly linked with him, and he went to Brentford instead. So I think that was a bit of a surprise. And another one I have is Cheick Doucouré going to Crystal Palace. I think is a great surprise one. He's one that when Liverpool were linked with Basuma, and I was skeptical of the 50 million price tag. Now Basuma went for a lot less than that, we know. I always said there's players in France that you can get that do that job for a lot less. And Palace signed this guy for about 22 million euros, Doucouré from Lens. And I think he's going to be a deadly player. I think he's going to be a midfield. He's not a destroyer. He's a box to box, very like Basuma. And I think he's one to watch 100%.
Surprise one for you, Matt?
I think Luis Sinis leads. Caught him playing for Feyenoord last season in the final. And he really stood out on what seemed to be a decent enough Feyenoord team. I think Leeds got a good, tricky little player there. He's got a heck of a left foot on him. So he's one that I'm excited to see how he acclimatizes to the Premier League.
Mm. Owen says, can we talk about the video of Arteta playing You Never Walk Alone at Arsenal training in the run-up to play Liverpool? He's a spoof for this fella. I keep telling you. And he's not, I keep saying it, he's not improving any players at Arsenal. He's just buying loads of players. Yeah. He's just improving nobody. Just keep spending loads of money. Look at the amount of money they've spent in the 2.5 years he's there, and tell me who he's improved, because he hasn't. But fuck me, you know what I mean? It'd be like, I don't know, it'd be like going to the Isle of Man for a pre-season tour and playing the Bee Gees at the training before you go. Like, you know what I mean? It just doesn't work. Surprise signing so far for me, I think Eriksen is a bit of a surprise at United.
Yeah.
Looking at the players they have, I think it's a bit of a surprise. Looking at what they need is a bit of a surprise. I think when you look at the likes of Bruno Fernandes there, you know, are you fitting him and Eriksen into the one team? Maybe. If you play Fernandes off the left-hand side, but does he want to be there? I'm not too sure. Eriksen's a really good player, don't get me wrong. I'd have had him at Liverpool. And would he suit in Liverpool? Probably, if you put him in a midfield three, if he could walk. But you know, I don't know if United need him. I think he's a little bit of a surprise. I was a bit surprised at Calvin Phillips to City. I was a little bit surprised at that. But nothing has really stood out to me over the summer. I went, wow, like, what is going on there? Nothing really stood out to me. Now, there could be some. There you go. I'll tell you what.
City letting Zinchenko go was one that surprised me. I might have misunderstood your question when I first heard it. Like, hearing that City are, they don't seem any closer than they were at the start of the offseason of signing Cucurella.
No, and they're not. They're going to sign another guy off Anderlecht instead, Sergio Gomez.
I think the Zinchenko one is a surprise. And I know you could have taken that question anyway you want, like, well, what the fuck's going on? Or, well, I can't believe they've let him go. The Zinchenko one. And, you know, you kind of look around and you kind of think that, for me, Zinchenko one's a really good example, actually. But other than that, there hasn't been one where, you know, when you see a signing happen and you see the price and you go, that's fucking mad. That is actually mad. I don't think anything has jumped out. Now, people in the chat might throw a load of names at me.
Good mad or mad mad?
Just either.
Yeah, because no, even the likes of Sterling to Chelsea, but it was rumoured for ages, and you knew there wasn't many teams he could go to.
You kind of felt that coming, though. You kind of felt Chelsea leaving, and if he was leaving, he was probably only going to sign for, it could possibly only be Arsenal, Chelsea, or Liverpool, really. Maybe a Newcastle, that would have thrown a load of money at him. But I just think nothing has really stood out to me where it's absolutely bonkers. We'll probably see it before the window.
If we weren't a Liverpool channel, the answer is probably Darwin Nunez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The answer is probably maybe even for the last question as well, in terms of who is overpriced. But we all think and hope and believe that he's going to come good, so that, you know, asterisk 170 trillion that we paid for him with add-ons, you know, will look like good money spent in the end. But I mean, even at the end of this season, if he gets, you know, 15, 20 goals in all competitions, as Liverpool fans, we'd all probably look at that and go, good for a season. We can build off of that. But everybody else will look at it and go, you paid 80 million for 20 goals. Like that guy was a flop. So, you know, that's probably the obvious one that we're not.
Yeah, that's down. Now, if there's anybody watching and you want to come in and give your opinion, this is probably the time to do it, because the next one is the top six and the order you have the top six in for next season. I want an order. I don't want random fucking names. That's not how we work. We like orders, and we like you to pin your colours to a to the mast. Keith, top six.
I've just changed mine literally as we're speaking. Right? I've just changed mine. Okay. So I'm going with Liverpool to win the league. I always would, wouldn't I? You know what I mean? I don't understand this thing. You know, I used to bug the bollocks out of me when people would be like, oh, this year's going to be a year. If you don't think it's going to be a year, what's the point? Yeah. So I always have Liverpool, and I especially have them this year because I think we're going to 100% going to do it. So if Liverpool ahead of City, obviously, I think they're light years ahead of everybody else. Mm-hmm. I have Spurs in third. I think Conte will have them drilled. Do you know what I mean? It's a fine line with Conte. He could be in one of our other categories later on as well, but I'm going with Spurs in third. Now, I put Chelsea into fourth. I had Arsenal.
Okay.
And all this Arteta stuff that they're putting the wind up me, yeah. So I've dropped them. Yeah. Yeah. And I've dropped them down to sixth because I've put them behind United. So I'm going with Liverpool, City, Spurs, Chelsea, United, Arsenal. I think United are very much, I think they do need to do another one or two signings. But the Ten Hag factor is intriguing. I think he's a better coach than Arteta.
He is a better coach, maybe. But, Keith, just to stay with you for a minute, right? And Jack in the chat said he could explain what's going on at Leicester, because Kev has asked the question, what is going on at Leicester? If Jack wants to come on and talk to us about Leicester, by all means, Jack, jump on and you can talk to us for a minute about Leicester. Because I fucking despise Brendan Rodgers, so I'm all up for it.
I have them in a category later on.
But Keith, Malacia, Ericsson, right?
Who Martinez.
Else? Alexander Martinez. That's the three signings.
Yeah.
Improves my left back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Improves my centre half.
Yeah.
Depends who we play.
Yeah.
Depends who we plays him with.
Playing with Varane.
Right, okay. I think Varane is overrated.
Yeah, so do I.
I'd actually go with Lindelof.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's just me. And Eriksen is a really good player. But when you look at the midfield, is he going to put Fred McTominay, Eriksen, and put Fernandez one side, Sancho the other, and Ronaldo if he keeps him up front? Somewhere along that line. Mate.
He's Donny van der Beek as well there.
Yeah, but Donny van der Beek...
played for him at Ajax.
They have to change the way they play to fit him in. Mm-hmm. And in order to change the way they play, they need to be brave. And I don't think they have the players in art right now to be that brave. Really don't. I include the goalkeeper in that, who's just nailed to his line. I think a fullback, right fullback, and if they have any sort of issue with centre back, they're in trouble. I think McTominay is good. I think Fred turns up when he feels like it. Fernandez didn't do enough for me last season. They're raving about Anthony Martial, that they didn't want him back from Sevilla.
Yeah, that's
fine. Rashford had a decent pre-season, wasn't there last season. Sancho's looked really good, and in fairness, he probably needed away from Solskjaer and a new manager. But where do you have United?
I have United fifth. I have them missing out. I have them above Arsenal. And the reason I have them above Arsenal,
so you have
is,
them in the, did he finish, where did he finish last season?
Sixth or seventh, I don't know.
They finished sixth. They're Europa League and West.
West Ham
dropped the ball.
Yeah.
So with all that, you're only rising one place.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Arsenal have done an awful lot, and I think the hype around Arsenal, I don't know if it's real or not. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if Jesus is. I think Jesus is going to be, you know, I think it's going to be excellent for Arsenal playing central. You really do. And I think the players around them, but I still think they've the same old Arsenal, but they'll have the same old problems, and they will be a soft shoe in the middle and the defence, and people will get through them too easy. And I think that keeper's one of the worst in the league. So when I thought about it, they're going down to sixth.
Okay. Fair enough. Top six for you. And as I said, if there's anybody there that wants to come in and give the top six, jump in and tell us. no problem.
That's right. Be brave. Crawl from
Be brave, because people are love telling you their opinion, and then when you offer them to come on, they don't. So come on.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I think I found a little problem with Keith's reasoning. He obviously didn't see the tweet where Arsenal said they have the best set of center halves in the league. So, I mean, come on, Keith. That's not a team that finishes in sixth. Rob Holding? Come on. Yeah. So my top six, I said it on the last show I was on. I think we get 103 points. I think we win the league this year. I think we win it pretty comfortably. Maybe not as comfortably as the last time, but I don't think it's going to be a nail biting down to the last day sort of thing. And as much as I really want in second, it's just not going to happen. It's the gap from second to third will be huge. Yeah. And it gets interesting. I went the same way as Keith. I got Spurs in third, Chelsea in fourth, and Arsenal fifth, United sixth. Because again, those center halves.
Okay. Let me see. Laura Duffy is gonna. She's a bargain. Newcastle's tree of Pope, Botman, and someone else.
Oh, Target. Boys,
maybe Koulibaly. At 23 million. Let's see if we can add Laura in here and she give us our top six.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Laura. We can hear you. Would you like to give us your top six for the season?
I think, well, one, us, City, is second. Spurs, third, almost kind of by default. Kind of how Chelsea ended up, you know, kind of by default, just in third last season. Chelsea this year, I think, in fourth by default, just because there's not a lot underneath that can challenge either Spurs or Chelsea. United, I have fifth. West Ham is an interesting one because
Are we leaving Arsenal out here?
Arsenal, I had it between West Ham, Arsenal. Oh. But then the surprise might be Newcastle.
Okay.
I'm not sure that Eddie Howe has what it takes to manage, you know. I think he did a good job last season with, you know, the situation that he was in. But I'm not sure. I think if things go south with what, I mean, they didn't spend a lot, but I think if things go south, he was a stopgap. And they're going to replace him as soon as they can with someone who
Pochettino.
Yeah, and he's looking for a job. So.
Yeah, he's definitely down the job center, looking for jobs in the Northeast. So you have
a bargain with the Newcastle three because there's the three Target, Pope, and Ben Botman were 60 million. So.
Yeah, that's not bad. It's not bad, but I think Newcastle probably spent that money where it's okay, and they're going to enter cheat mode very soon, where they become one of the top cheats in world football, along with Man City.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But they didn't make the mistake of let's splash as much money as we can right now.
Yeah.
It'll happen slowly over time, I think, where it's you turn around and it's like, oh, yeah, we all knew this was coming, but they didn't do it right away. So it was... You know, it kind of oozes in under the radar right now.
Yeah. They can't throw a Neymar in with a John Joe Shelby, so they look great on the John Joe Shelbys.
And then they'll start.
And that's what they'll do. They won't, you know what I mean? They'll improve their squad to a better standard and then start adding in the superstars. Yeah.
Yeah.
If only Zlatan was 2 years younger, because that's a perfect, you know, their Robinho, you know.
Yeah, Newcastle Zlatan throwing up as the king of Newcastle to be dead. You're absolutely amazing. Thanks a million, Laura. Thanks for the call in tonight. Thanks a million.
Brilliant.
See you in a bit. Right. Top six. Liverpool number one.
Yeah.
Man City number two. Because, like I said, a lot of teams are out there trying to improve, and I think they have. But I think even when you watch Saturday, you just look at Liverpool and City are just... The speed and the power and the know-how is just beyond where anyone else has. And that's no disrespect to anyone else out there. I think Spurs are a good bet for third. I think half the season that Conte has, I think he has them in Champions League kind of football, doesn't he? We get Champions League, but what I mean is that the points per game was really good from them. And I think Basuma is a really good signing for them. in there with Bentancur, Højbjerg. You know, I think that it's another good option. Jed Spence is good. Perisic is really good. He's a very, very clever signing. Richarlison, if he's willing to sit where he's going to sit in that pecking order, he could do all right. I think Spurs are a decent bet. And I only say that because they finished fourth behind Chelsea last season. And I think that Chelsea side looks old. And I think it looks tired. And I think it looks, Azpilicueta and Alonso are still there, but I think they want out. You know, they've signed Koulibaly. They're looking at Wesley Fofana off Leicester. But I look at where do you put in Kai Havertz? We're just playing where he's meant to play for me as a 10. Right, but then who do you put up front? Werner doesn't look like a footballer to me. Sterling is a good sign, regardless of what you think of him. But in midfield, you know, how much weight did he give to Conor Gallagher? Does Kante play enough games? I just don't know. It feels a bit stale at Chelsea. Now that could all change. I'm going to put Arsenal in fourth. Yeah, and I'll tell you why. They came close last season. I think Chelsea aren't as good as they were last season. And I think Arsenal have improved, i.e. if Saliba is good enough, he'll do really well for them. And I think an absolute goal scorer in Jesus, regardless of what people think, he's a winger or not, he's a goal scorer. And I think that's what they need. I think that'll help Saka and Martinelli. I think it'll take actually pressure off them. And Ketia might improve off the back of that because he's not being thrown in. Although he does really well. Do you remember when he went at Stamford Bridge as a striker? I just think Arsenal might edge fourth. I think United are probably another year away from getting into top four because I don't think he's signed enough and what he's left with is a massive part of what was there last season, despite who's left. I'd have Chelsea fifth, United sixth.
You think Arsenal have a deep enough squad, Gav, to deal with the... with the Thursday, Sunday?
I think, like,
especially if they get out of the group stage of the Europa League. You know,
I think they have a decision to make. I think they'll take the Europa League on its merits up until the World Cup, because then it all shuts down. And I think then if they were to get there and they were, say, fourth in the league, and they were through in the Europa League, I think they'll have a decision to make. And I think the decision will be to probably push on with the league. If you were sixth or seventh, the decision will be, let's push for the Europa League, I guess, in the Champions League. But yeah, I think the signings they've made some good signings. Vieira is being signed by them as well. So I just think the improvement in Arsenal, coupled with, despite Spurs improving for me, Chelsea might drop a little bit. And I think that's where Arsenal might just do them. And I think Arsenal were ahead of United last season, and I think they've had a better summer. This summer as well. So that's where I'd probably just squeeze Arsenal into fourth. Jack says he was trying to set up his mic and everything crashed, he says. Happy to chat Leicester if you like, or another night. Jack, if you want to come on and talk to about Leicester for a few minutes, you just throw it on there and we'll bring you on for
that. That happened to me last week, Jack. When I tried to join, it froze my window up. Just reload the page and try again and it should work.
Cool. Well, if he wants to come on, he can. And if anyone wants to come on and ask a question or whatever you want, you can do that and we can get you.
Stephen Morphy makes a good point there. I think everything outside the top two is up for grabs. None of them are good enough to break away, and their Euro games will have a massive effect on them. And I think that's very fair. And I think that's what could determine the order.
Well, you know, Liverpool and City can go and do it. You know, you've seen it. Liverpool played every possible fucking game last season. Yeah. Whereas Liverpool can go and do it. And we do make decisions within that. You know, we've seen, you know, FA Cup lineups, we've seen League Cup lineups, we've seen some league lineups, some Champions League lineups to compensate
for Cade Gordon starting an FA Cup semi-final.
Yeah, you know, it's just they make those decisions because A, they trust the players they have, but B, you know, they're confident enough in what they have, and they can get away with it. You know what I mean? And they're in a position to do it, i.e. you win your first four group games and you've 2-3. Let's be honest. You have a really good away win in the fourth leg and you have a free home game, really, in knockout stuff. But the other clubs just have decisions to make, and it's up to them what decision they make. They could make the wrong one. You could decide we go for the league, drop out of Europa League, end up fifth. Looks a fucking disaster. You know, the sort of way. Bottom three. Matt, I'll let you go first in the bottom three.
All right. last place, I think, is Bournemouth. I think Bournemouth is doomed to have a real, real tough season. I would consider bumping them up into 19th if they can get a signing of Nat Phillips across the line. I honestly think that he would be worth enough points to make a difference between 20th and 19th, which isn't enough, but I think it's something. 19th, I got Notts Forest going down simply because that guy I met in Montreal with the Nottingham Forest shirt on was a bit of a dick. So now I want them to go down. So
they're in that Phillips transfer away from finishing bottom.
As good a reason as any.
He said it's not Notts Forest, it's Nottingham Forest. So I was like, fuck if I didn't know any better. So no, fuck, I hope you get relegated.
A lot of them do call them Notts Forest.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought, but apparently no. And the last team to go down, try as I might, Everton, I think, is going to be safe. I think Southampton's going to go this year.
Great. Keith, we're nearly an hour in, so we still have our lashing through. Right. Bottom three.
Bournemouth, Fulham, and Everton. I don't think they're going to be safe.
Okay. Bournemouth. I think the three that come up go back down.
I was toying with that myself, but Everton have laid desperate and they're not doing that.
I don't think Bournemouth have done enough. I think Fulham have lost Carvalho and I think they're frustrated within the transfer market from reading from. It's Marco Silva that's what manages them. Yeah. And
it's Mitrovic for Fulham. If Mitrovic can get half the goals he got last season.
That's what they have as goals, isn't it?
Yeah.
Last time they came up, Mitrovic was garbage.
Yeah, I think the worry I have for Forrest is the amount. Now, I understand he had a load of loanees last season, so they have to sign players. But I just think it's an awful lot of players to sign. It's an awful lot of players to gel. Like, if you talk about, say, Spurs, if Spurs signed 8 this summer, you go, it's a lot of fucking players. You know, but when you look at Spurs and you go, like, Jed Spence, Perisic, Bissouma,
Longley on loan.
Longley, they've done 5, right? But they're not massively affecting their first 11, if you get me. You know, I don't think Longley might start. You know, there could be an argument over Jed Spence. Will he start? I think Bissouma will start over maybe Højbjerg.
Yeah.
And Richarlison, does he start? I'm not sure. Perisic does. So probably 2 of the 5 definitely start. But with Forrest, it looks like they signed a lot of players that they're expecting to start every week. And I kind of get a feeling they might start well, and if they get a slump, they might just find it difficult to get out of.
They have a good coach.
Yeah, they have got a good coach. He's done really well. I think Forrest, and I kind of agree with you, Keith. I think Everton's a weird one. I think they made a good signing in Vinagre. I think they made a really good signing with Tarkowski, but I think he might have too much on his shoulders to try to deal with, considering the rest of the people around him. And they've signed Dwight McNeil, who's actually a good player. He's just in a only thing that just did not suit him one bit.
Yeah, but does he do the numbers? You know? That's the worry you'd have with him. Does he have the numbers? Yeah,
but I think sometimes it's hard as an attacking player for Burnley to be judged on numbers because the way they play, they just launch balls at Chris Ward or, you know, fucking Ashley, whatever his name is.
Ashley Barnes.
Like, and it's not football. It's like Davo says, they're playing a different fucking sport.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I think it's hard for wide players in particular. Like Aaron Lennon was with Burnley, had a really good season by all the things, but you never know if he has a good season because they don't give the ball an awful lot to Aaron Lennon when you're kind of watching football or watching games. So it'll be interesting to see.
The thing with the Everton is that news that came out today that Calvert-Lewin has picked up an injury.
Yeah. Where do the goals come from?
If he's injured for a couple months, they are in serious. Did you see that
Newcastle wanted to sign Rondon back?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Off Everton for 15 million. Was that a joke?
I don't know.
I'm not entirely sure. I just saw some Everton fans that were saying, it's okay because Dele Alli is going to have a career resurgence playing the false 9 for Everton. Oh, yeah.
Of course he is. Course.
I reserve the right until the news of that scan comes out in the next day or two to change my bottom three because Everton might That's they fair. Might need to go back in.
Okay, right. Let's lash through these. I want just one word answers. Top scorer, Keith.
Mo Salah.
Matt.
Salah.
Gav.
Harry Kane. But I think Salah gets more assists than he did last season. Anyway, top assists, Keith.
Kevin De Bruyne.
Matt.
I said earlier on another show, I think Trent's going to get 20 this year. Trent.
Okay.
Gav?
Mo Salah. Surprised him in a good way. So basically, didn't expect that, but you were fucking going out there.
Yeah.
Well,
me?
Yeah.
Brighton.
Okay.
Loved them. Matt. Loved them.
For me, I think it's going to be Leeds. I think they really struggled last year, and they flirted with going back down, and it could have been a real different universe for Leeds to be living in. But I agree with what you said earlier. I think they've made some pretty shrewd signings. March seems to have a plan going forward. Yeah, I think Leeds are going to have a much less heart attack type of final few months of the season.
Yeah.
Surprise team in a bad way. Oh, yeah, they should be good, but I'm not. Keith?
Leicester.
Okay. Matt?
Muck.
Yeah, Southampton. I think Southampton's going to be god-awful this year.
Okay. Sorry, my surprise team in a good way, I think, might be Palace. Yeah. Another year under Vieira. Them players are really exciting, and another year under their belts. Sorry, who did you go with, Matt? For the bad team, Southampton, you went with?
I went with Leicester.
Leicester, okay. I'm struggling with this one. I wouldn't be surprised if Newcastle struggled a bit.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think they're being pushed up there where they might kind of look between, say, 7th and 10th. And I could see them finishing just below that. I really could. But we'll have to wait and see. Player of the year, Keith. So this will be players' player of the year.
All right, you didn't say that.
Well, players, listen, I'll tell you what. Player of the year, Premier League player of the year.
Mo Salah. I think he's going to bleed and rumble in loads of goals. Mo Salah.
Matt?
Yeah, it's Mo Salah.
Okay. I agree. I looked at him on Saturday and I thought, this fella looks like he's just floating on air.
Yeah.
And he's in some serious fucking bother here. You know? Yeah. And I think the fact that he has a target to hit in the middle if he's playing with Diaz, I think is outrageous. Because if he doesn't think he can score, instead of trying to pinpoint the ball, he can literally just lob it up in the air. And this fella is just like a lunatic.
And then chase it. Yeah. He can lob it up in the air and then chase his own ball.
Yeah.
Because he knows that it's, you know, it might either get on net and get for a rebound, or Darwin might just head it down to him.
Yeah, I think it will be player of the year. Flop of the season. Who's going to flop? Who is being highly rated and is going to flop? Jack was in the chat earlier, wasn't he? He was the Leicester fan. Jack, if you're still there, set up and come in, because I want to have a chat with you.
Flop of the season.
Yeah. Who's up there and you kind of go highly rated and it's just not going to happen?
This is the only one that don't have an answer.
It doesn't have to be a player that signed the season. It could be someone that is just, you know, deadly and just not walking.
What? I'll go first, Keith, to give you a second to think about it. Yeah. I was thinking about it in terms of transfers this season, and I figured like per dollar would be Richarlison and overall probably Eriksen, but if it doesn't have to be somebody that moved this year, I think it could be a rough year for Cristiano Ronaldo. If the guys running Manchester United don't completely drop the ball, which, to be fair, I hope they do, they will back Ten Hag over Ronaldo when eventually they come to loggerheads. If they feel the pressure from the online Sue boys, they'll back Ronaldo and, you know, Ten Hag will get the axe in February or something like that. But if they're smart about it, they'll back the manager and what he's trying to do there. And Cristiano Ronaldo's end of his career will putter out worse than Messi's is currently.
Okay. Keith?
See, Ronaldo's a great shout because of the way they play. Grealish in the chat there is another one. It looks like they're shoehorning him into their team, but they can absorb that 100 million loss. One player that I think will flop bad, Let me think.
Owen in the chat says Coutinho, because he doesn't think he suits the Premier League anymore.
I think Steven Gerrard could be the flop of the season. I think he could be found out this year.
Okay. I'm actually going to go back to one of the players you mentioned earlier, and it's the guy at Villa, the centre-back that's signed.
Diego Carlos.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a hint of liability off him.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring Jack in here. Let's see, because I want to talk about the next thing. Let's see if we can get Jack in.
Hi, fellas, you're right.
Jack, mate, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. You?
Good, good. Sound is absolutely amazing, by the way.
Oh, brilliant, thank you.
So, Jack, I've left two kind of topics to the end, right? And I'm kind of glad you came in at this time. So I'm going to include you in both. The first one is going to be fairly quick fire where I'll ask all three, but then I want to get into a conversation because I really want to just have a go, Brendan Rodgers, right? I'm going to be there with us, right? But the second last topic of tonight is your one player to watch this season. It can be a fella that's moved transfer-wise. It can be a guy that you've seen last season you think he could get better. It can be anything like that. I'm going to leave Jack to last because he didn't see the list prior to the show. Keith's looking a bit nervous, like he didn't read all the list.
So no, I have mine nailed down on this.
Okay, cool. Keith, one player to watch.
Moise Caicedo off Brighton. Okay. He's fucking brilliant. He's amazing, this kid. He's one of the best things to come out of South America, midfield players. And he came to Brighton last year and got loaned out, struggled to settle in, came in the back end of the season, put in some good, good performances. And I think with Basuma moving on, I think they have their replacements already in Enoch Mepu and Moise Caicedo. And I think he's going to be the one to watch. He's going to be the surprise package for the season for me.
This reminds me of last season when you said that the guy Samara off Leicester was
going. I did say that, yeah.
That went well, didn't it?
Yeah, that's haunted me ever since. That's haunted me ever since.
Brighton fans smashing up their screen as he speaks.
I'm much more confident than this one. Caicedo, man to watch.
Is that because he's from South America?
Yeah, and that's Ecuador are the flavour of the
from
month.
South America.
They've done it again, haven't they? They've just brought in that Paraguayan 18-year-old, is it Julio Enciso?
Their scouting is absolutely brilliant, you know, and it doesn't always work straight off the bat for them. It takes a while for some of these lads to come in, but they're picking up these South Americans. So do I.
I like them, except for the time that Danny Welbeck ran for 8 yards and then fell on the ground.
Yeah, that was a shame.
That was a shame, and he's a prick. that doesn't work. You can go, well, Matt, one player to watch this season.
I got two, one new, one old. The player I'm most interested in watching, mentioned earlier, is Scamacca at West Ham. Because it feels like a kind of ride or die. Antonio really petered out at the end of last season. And Moyes isn't shit, as much as we all rag on him, because he used to be the Everton boss. He's a good quality manager. So he's one that I'm really interested in watching how he adapts to the league. And then the old one is, I'm very interested to see what happens to Marcus Rashford this season. Because if he does not turn it around this year, he's got to go. He's got to go. And this is a player that I would have loved to have at Liverpool 2-3 seasons ago.
Okay. Jack, one player to watch?
I feel like it's a player that's kind of going a bit under the radar. Leon Bailey at Villa. I think when he signed for them last season, there was so much hype around him because this is a player that England were desperate to get on their books, and he ended up obviously choosing Jamaica. I think maybe he's just not found his feet or his rhythm at Villa, but he's looked really sharp in pre-season. I think that Leon Bailey's definitely someone that could maybe revitalise Villa a little bit this season.
Okay. The last one was the fourth manager to go.
Why did you keep this one for Jack?
Because I hope it's Brendan Rodgers. So anyone that doesn't know, which I don't think it is, I fucking despise Brendan Rodgers. He was Liverpool manager. I liked him. I actually liked him for most of his tenure at Liverpool, and then he had the gall to get beaten 6-1 at Stoke and stay in the job, have all his backroom staff sacked so he could keep his job, and then signed Mario Balotelli or fucking he went off the rocker completely. But Jack, I'll ask the lads in a minute what who do you think is going to get managed for. I'm going to say it's Brendan Rodgers, right? Because there's kind of strange things coming out of Leicester in the last couple of days. Wesley Fofana changing all his social media stuff. He's dicing it up on his social media. don't think they have they made a signing. Madison's being linked away to Newcastle. Apparently, Schmeichel United and one other club are monitoring Vardy because he has a year left on his deal. It feels a bit to me like Leicester aren't ready to commit more money to Brendan Rodgers, but just forgot to sack him.
There's very much a changing of the guard taking place, I think. There's a
Schmeichel, of course, gone as well. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really sad one for me, because like he is, him and Vardy, they kind of are Leicester. Like if you look at Leicester, you think Schmeichel, Vardy, like that's the thing. Like, but there definitely was rumblings last season that Schmeichel is kind of on his way out. He was openly doing interviews saying he wanted to play European football again. Like obviously Nice is maybe not quite where he was thinking, but you know, so twilight years of your career, 3 years in the south of France, you can't really knock it on that.
Yeah, worst place that they were.
Oh, definitely. But there was definitely rumblings last season that like he maybe won't be here this season. He's only got a year left on his deal as well. Vardy, I mean, if he was to, I mean, there's every year since he's been good, there's been some newspaper saying Vardy will go to Chelsea or City or Arsenal.
He seemed to be close to Arsenal, didn't he? Maybe the season after he won the title.
It was the summer we won the league. So Mahrez, Vardy, Kante all had release clauses because we weren't expecting to do as well as we did, of course. And they were dirt cheap release clauses because we signed them all for dirt cheap money. Yeah. And they met his release clause and he chose to stay, which is why obviously he's so iconic for us and he's become, I think he's very much knows where his bread is buttered. And I think if he fancies one last, like, it'll be a huge loss. I'm not going to sit here and say it won't, but if he fancies one last shot at the big time, I mean, he's been such a great servant to us. Who am I to say no to him? But it would be a massive loss to the club. The other two that you mentioned, Fofana, Maddison. Fofana in March signed a brand new 5-year deal. So if he does go, we're getting big money for him. Like, that's like, I don't want to lose him, but yeah, protecting the club. Madison's the interesting one.
And gave him that
one.
Contract off the back of a really serious injury.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the whole social media thing is an odd one. I was talking about this on my podcast I recorded earlier. Like he's a bit like that. Like his character, he's very active on social media. He understands how the game works in terms of a PR thing.
Yeah,
because he's removing things, he's adding them back in, he's liking things, he's unliking them. He very much does sort of have that sort of almost like troll mentality on social media. Whether that is, I mean, I don't know how serious it is. Out of the two of them, he's the one that Rodgers said is not for sale. So it's difficult to see so many players linked away and nobody linked to come in, which is, that's the most frustrating thing. But that's down to our squad size. We've got 29 players on massive wages and we haven't got Europe this season. You can only register 25 players. So our wage to turnover ratio is at like 85%. So in terms of being in line with FFP, yeah, the money's there. Like I've spoke to numerous people like the Indonos and everything. They're adamant the money to spend is there. It's just they can't bring anyone in without getting rid of people. Yeah, exactly. We've got to sell like 5 players to buy one. It's unless they pump through some of the young players, and we've got some really good young players, but not good enough to play in the Premier League yet, in my opinion. So it's frustrating is the word. I don't think either of those two that we mentioned, Fofana and Maddison, will go this window, but I don't think it'll be long before they do.
Is Tielemans likely to go?
Yeah, I think so. I think most Leicester fans are resigned to the fact that Tielemans will go.
Probably.
There's a few rumblings that the whole Maddison thing is a bit of a smokescreen for him signing a new deal, because with Schmeichel leaving, frees up about 130k, which would obviously allow Maddison's agent to negotiate a bit more, because I think he's our most important player. I think he wants his contract to represent that. I think that maybe Ashworth is working with Leicester to go, well, Maddison's the feeler, but actually they might be leaning towards Tielemans because he would instantly improve them and he's available. But the catch there is that he is desperate for European football, which is, and I think his form last season is why there isn't teams lining up for him. Like for a player of his quality, there should be. But
I think you're right. I think if this was, say, this time last year, and Tielemans was had a year, I think he's a year left on his deal, does he?
Off the back of the scoring the FA Cup final winner.
Yes.
Like, stocks really high.
I think if this was this time last year, and forgetting that form that he had last year, I think the likes of Liverpool would have looked him. You know, because he can't play in the midfield three, he can't play that eight position. He works hard, he's athletic, he has that everything, but I think that form last season kind of turned a few people. And I suppose there was a bit of, and this is me looking from the outside in, there was a lot of kind of rumblings in January that seemed to unsettle Leicester quite a bit around Tielemans, and it was kind of taken over. What, anything about Leicester at the time for maybe a week or two period, and you're kind of going, is that right? Maybe not, but that's how it's working. I'll come back to you, Jack, because I'll ask you who you think will go first.
Yeah,
I think it'll be Brendan Rodgers. I'd love it to be Frank Lampard, but I think he'll hang on. Matt, first manager to go.
I think the first manager to get the sack is going to be the Alpine Emmett Kavanaugh, the master of the 9-0 defeat himself, Ralph Hasenhüttl. I think finally.
You really don't like Southampton, do you?
He hates that Wolves, doesn't he?
He's absolutely shit on Southampton as much as he can to me.
If Southampton doesn't get 10 free kick goals from James Ward-Prowse last season, they are in a significantly bigger world of hurt than they are. Like, he came up with some clutch goals for them at, you know, in tight games when they needed it. I just don't think it's going to be there. I don't know who's going to score the goals for Southampton. Broa's not there.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just think you're bullying Southampton. That's all.
The young lad that just signed is really good.
Yeah, I know you had to pick somebody, but you could have went for somebody else. No, you're not. You're adamant. You're adamant it's fucking Southampton. Fair enough. Keith.
I think it's Lampard. I don't know if I've ever seen a manager talk about relegation battles in the pre-season before.
Yeah, he's great.
Like, and trying to distance himself from it when it's all down to him.
He's basically trying to tell you it's nothing to do with him, despite the fact he's the manager of Everton Football.
And I know it's easy when you're a Liverpool fan or a Liverpool channel, and it sounds like I'm just sort of digging in on Frank Lampard. But
more fun than easy, I think.
Yeah, but I think it's most likely now. I do agree with Matt. I think Emmett at Southampton could be in trouble. but then again, a man that gets beaten routinely 9-0 and hasn't got sacked, that's another one. Hell could be another one as well. That's in the mix as well. You know, at Newcastle, expectations and all that could be. Did Eddie Howe ride a bit of a crest of a wave last season? Will expectations be that much higher? But I can't get away from.
Is Pochettino going to take another job?
Well, with Pochettino hovering out there, I think Newcastle will be looking at that. I don't think Everton and Southampton will be shopping in that market, or Leicester.
No, I mean, if another big European team, you know, has an opening and Pochettino starts flirting with that job, it might be enough to make Newcastle pull the trigger.
It could, yeah. I think so. But I think, do you know what? So you're going Lampard.
I can't get away from Lampard.
Okay,
no.
That's fair. I hear you. Matt is just absolutely anti South Coast, and he's sticking with Southampton. I'll let Jack go last. I think it's the Marco Silva at Fulham.
He's volatile, isn't he?
They like to be a little bit trigger happy when they're in the Premier League as well, and just go bang. And you know what? It's days like this that you wish Watford were in the Premier League, because you could just pick the Watford manager. Yeah. And you know you're getting it right.
Bonus points if Watford sacked two managers before the Premier League manager goes.
If you wake up and when Watford were in the Premier League and you woke up and there was a manager sacked before the Watford manager, when the season starts, you woke up in complete shock. Like, you had to go on the drink for the day. It was just like, what is going on in the world? It was apocalypse stuff. But Fulham have done this as well. Do you remember they brought in Rennie Meulensteen at one stage? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
they done that. Yeah. And I have a feeling when you're in the Premier League the last time, you messed around a bit with a couple of
They managers. Always do, yeah.
So I think Marco Silva might want to watch his back. But that's not a Pochettino move, right? No. And I don't think Leicester's a Pochettino move, and I don't think Everton is either. I think that Newcastle one might be, though. I think that Newcastle one might be. And it'd be interesting. The other one thing to watch is Tuchel at Chelsea.
Your mate, your boy, getting them all in here.
I can't stand. I think that's a Pochettino job.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to think of. You have to think, where is Pochettino going? Because he's very highly rated, right? I think he's a bit harshly treated because of his time at PSG, because that's a circus. And I just think, watch, wherever you think Pochettino might end up, put a few quid on their manager being sacked. That's where you should go with. Jack, is Brendan Rodgers the first to go, or would you like Lampard, or who would you like? Don't pick Southampton, they've been bashed to me.
I'll tell you why Rodgers isn't the first to go, and it's not because we're going to tear it up this season. I mean, we might, because, you know, but stranger things have happened in Leicester. But his severance package would be too high. He's the fourth highest paid manager in the league. And I mean, if the media hoodoo is that we have no money is true and we can't sign players because of it, we're not going to sack Rodgers because of it. He's the fourth highest paid manager in the league. So we'd have to be in the bottom three for him to be sacked, in my opinion. That's not my opinion on whether he should go or not and what I think of him, but that's why he won't be sacked unless it's a really serious sort of really, really poor season. It's difficult to look past Lampard because, I mean, they only really stayed up last season because there was a team worse than them.
Football.
Yeah, they got rid of Sean Dyche for whatever reason. Tuchel's a fair shout. I mean, I can't really imagine why, because, I mean, personal opinions aside, you can't really deny that he's a good manager, but he isn't Todd Bowley's man. He's Abramovich's man, so there's that argument. At what point does Arteta's, all the investment they've given him, at what point does that become a burden, over his shoulder? But if I was going to put money on anyone, I would have to go with Fat Frank, unfortunately.
Good. Not unfortunately. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I don't want to buy into the Liverpool bias. It's just. No. I think he is. I think there's pressure on him. Everton's a big club, and they're a basket
really
case.
Easy
so.
Not to like.
Yeah.
I'd say Brendan Rodgers is seeding that there's three better paid managers than him in the league.
Mad. I'd say he has three envelopes with the names in it.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, of course he does.
He loves selling a pipe dream. That's probably how he got the big wage.
Snake oil salesman. Love him.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Scabby.
Fourth highest paid manager in the league is absolute. Who's paid higher than him?
Pep, Klopp, and I want to say Conte. I think he was third until Conte came in. I think, but it's ridiculous because he's definitely not the fourth best manager in the league.
Correct. No. He's probably not the fourth best manager in Leicester.
Tommy Tuchel might want to get the axe from Chelsea if he's getting paid less than fucking Brendan Rodgers.
Brendan Rodgers could go to Nice. Brendan Rodgers is definitely looking at Conte to get out of sports so he can move back up that leaderboard. You know, and he definitely has a podium in his house that he just stands in the toilet spot before he goes to bed.
Have you seen that?
It's right underneath where, his painting.
Yeah.
You've seen that picture, the meme where it's the people on the podium. And he's there's that one bloke celebrating with all the champagne, and he's the fifth, sixth highest one down. Yeah, it's that just asked Rodgers. He's I'm the fourth highest paid. I'll take it. He's got more than two.
Yeah, he's just counting his money. Like,
oh, honestly.
I mean, if only Rodgers could finish fourth, you know.
Yeah.
That's all he needs.
To be fair, though, finishing fifth two seasons in a row is. I mean, whatever you think about how we ended up there, I mean, from a Leicester point of view, it's unbelievable to be honest.
We've had this argument, Jack. If you're winning the race and you finish fourth. You're fifth, you don't celebrate it.
Do you know what? That's probably what's annoyed me most about Brendan Rodgers is the two fifth place finishes, particularly the one in the year Liverpool win the league, 19-20.
Yeah.
When you take 23 points for the last 19 games, and people are going, but they've done all right. No, they didn't. They picked up 23 points in 19 games. And I've had this argument over and over again. I quite enjoy having the argument. We could probably do it again, Jack, at some stage. But at 11:30 at night, evening. That has been a cracking prediction show for 2022-23. I want to thank Matt. I want to thank Keith. I want to thank Laura, who jumped onto a call. I want to thank Jack, who has a brilliant podcast called Talking Ballacks Pod, which is a brilliant name. I love a good name for podcasts. It's like the Leicester City one. Do you know the Leicester City one? For Fox's sake?
For Fox's. Yeah.
Okay, love that name as well. Jack, where can people find you? You might as well do this.
So we're on Twitter. We're on Twitter, which is it's at the Ballacks Pod, because Talking Ballacks was already taken. And you can find us on Instagram as well at the Talking Ballacks Pod.
Okay. Podcast release, YouTube, audio?
We're trying to get it on YouTube. It's a bit difficult at the moment because obviously we've only really recently started up. So we're on Spotify. That's where most of our content is found. But we're currently in the process of doing it on YouTube as well. So hopefully we'll be getting out there a bit more.
How many people are on the podcast?
So it's hosted by myself and a good friend of mine called Ewan, who is a Newcastle fan. So obviously a lot of tension between us at the moment. So two of us, we've known each other for 10 years. So we're always talking football. We just thought better than doing it in the echo chamber that is Twitter. We can do it on the echo chamber that is Spotify instead. So
good stuff. If you ever need anybody from this podcast to come on and join you as a Liverpool representative, please do so. If you need anyone to go on and bash you about Southampton, Matt is always available. And if you need anybody to come on and tell you how great South America is, Keith is also available too.
Yeah.
That has been the midweek
charity picks. Sponsor, Gav.
Premier League. Will give me a second.
Just making sure. Gee,
I never forget. Never.
Forgot a couple of weeks ago.
Hold on. We gave you sponsorships to read out, and you decided against it. And the reason that you got around it was you had me on the show, so I would read it out for you. Correct?
Me?
Keith.
Oh, me, yeah.
100%. Oh, yeah.
I thought you were digging Matt out there.
You can dig him out for the quizzes that he makes, which are horrendously hard. Yeah. But Keith used to say, oh, yeah, I'll read this out. And then he go, you're coming on the show tonight. And then he'd just go, you read it out. So,
Gav, have you any sponsor news?
No, the charity is Bobby's Wish to Walk. Bobby's Wish to Walk is about a young guy, 7 years old, in Dublin, that needs €150,000 to go to St. Louis in America to have treatment on. It's basically the same treatment as we helped out with for Sienna. It's spasticity.
Spasticity in
their bones and in their muscles. And, yeah, it's a form of cerebral palsy. He's topped $100,000. He's on the final straight now. Getting to $150,000, he goes off and he lives a brilliant, brilliant life, full of action and climbing and falling and all that sort of stuff. And the same way Sienna is. Sienna's on holiday at the moment, lounging by the pool and then jumping in the pool and swimming around. So that's the difference it can make. When a year ago Sienna was on a walking frame, so that's the difference it makes. Go and check it out. You can find it on our Twitter, you can find it on our Facebook, you can find it in our YouTube, all our YouTube videos and stuff like that as well. You will find it on the description for this show too. Keith, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure as always.
Matt, thanks a million for joining me.
See you tomorrow.
Laura, thanks a million for joining us earlier. And Jack, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thanks a lot for this. Thanks for inviting me on. Cheers.
No problem at all. Over and out. Sports Social Podcast Network.